Dann habe ich noch was zu den Gefühlen.
Ah. Ich muss dir.
I'll pray before we begin. Father God, I thank you this morning that our praise and worship was offered up to you, Lord, as a sweet smelling aroma. Thank you, Lord, for this prayers given to you, Lord God, this morning, that we know that you will answer. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we've heard of requests that have been answered, so for that we give thanks. Mm-hmm. And ask you, Lord, to bless us with your word, Lord, and help you to deliver your word. Deliver, Lord God, that would affect people's hearts and minds and lives. That it would be a sermon this morning, Lord God, that changes our attitudes, helps us to realise who we are in you and what you've done for us in this path of victory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay.
With the green button on? Okay. Okay, so last week Dave spoke. We're on the Path to Victory series. And I've entitled my talk this week, subtitle, Pick Up Your Cross and Follow Me. Last week Dave showed how within 1 week from his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when the people cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, to his trial before Pontius Pilate, Jesus became the enemy of the people. The religious leaders didn't recognize who Jesus was. They persuaded and helped prevent the masses and even the governing authorities not to recognize him, not to recognize who Jesus really was. And in doing so, by rejecting the one that they considered their enemy, they were allowing the enemy to destroy them. The path to victory can take us to the great heights in life, and yet they can bring us to the deepest valleys. For a season, we can be loved and adored by all. And in an instant, we can be hated, despised, and rejected. The unbelieving world still doesn't recognize Jesus and ignorantly allows the enemy to lead them to destruction. May the Lord always help us to recognize who he is, what he is doing, and where he is leading us. This morning, I'm reading from Luke chapter 23. And verses 26 to 46. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. The great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will they do? What will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. This morning we journey with Jesus on the path to victory. We're going to see how he faced what many, probably foolishly, people believe to be the greatest enemy of all, death. The first part that we read in this account is about a man called Simon. He was coming to the country, and as he passed by, we are told that he was made to carry the cross for Jesus. This man experienced some of the venomous hatred of the people being forced to carry the cross for him. We do not know if he knew Jesus or if he was just coming for the feast. Many think that he was also a condemned man, for he carried the heavy cross that Jesus was to suffer and to die upon. When I was thinking about this part of the story, because Jesus has two conversations in this passage, but when I was thinking about this part of the talk, I had the song ringing in my head, and I don't even know this song. I don't even know where it came from. It's by the Hollies, and it's called He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And the song goes something like this, and I'm not going to sing it to you because I don't know how to. The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when, but I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go, his welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there, for I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Really odd that song came into my head. And I looked it up. The original text is in 1884, a man called James Whale, the moderator of the United Church of Scotland, in his book, The Parables of Jesus, tells the story of a little girl carrying a big baby boy. And seeing her struggling, someone asked if she wasn't tired carrying this big baby. And with surprise, she replied, No, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And this song came into my mind when I was thinking about Simon. Actually, I just realised. Is that not connecting today, no? And in this song, it came into mind when I was thinking about Simon, who was carrying the cross for Jesus. And I wondered if he put up a fight or tried to flee when he was asked to pick up the cross, or made to pick up the cross. Or maybe carrying the cross for Jesus was something that he did without complaint. We don't know. But the lyrics in the song, which you've just heard me read, are quite powerful, if you think about it, and move us to consider for a moment if it is a cost to carry our brother, or even in this talk, to bear the cross that we as believers are compelled to carry on the road to victory with Jesus, that we must walk. On the path to the place where Jesus would be crucified, we have a momentary glimpse into the very heart of Jesus. Even after he'd been endured the beatings and the abuse and the torment of everything that had been done when he was going on the road, he still speaks to those who follow us. And Jesus has two conversations in this passage. In verse 1, as Jesus warns the people of the difficult days to come, the darkness that lies ahead, he warns them of the cruelty that is to come, saying, if they can do this now to me, what is going to come later will be much, much worse. In fact, we will call upon the mountains to hide you. There's terrible days that lie ahead. Remember, at this point, Jesus has been beaten within an inch of his life. He's been abused and spat upon and mocked. The hatred that he felt was so fierce, and yet he continued to walk the path to his death and ultimately the path to victory. He was forsaken by those around him, by the leaders, many who deserted him. Where were those who waved the palm branches when he walked in, and now he's walking alone to the city. Outside the city, he walks towards the hill for his crucifixion. Many people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. It's a well-known phrase, and one that is quoted when a person makes a wonderful claim about something and then there's no proof in the pudding, if you will. Jesus made many claims and statements about who he was, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that was to come, and he was foretold of in the Old Testament. He made these claims in all places and was accused of blasphemy by the high priest and other religious leaders. Jesus walked this life proving and proclaiming that he was the Son of God, and now he was walking the walk to his death, standing upon that truth that he proclaimed. Jesus faced man's greatest enemy, which we know is death. Jesus never backed down once or denied to do his Father's will. He never refused to go to his death at Calvary. He never retaliated. He never called on the legions of angels that he could have called upon to destroy those who were mocking him and were putting him to the cross. Death, however, is not the greatest enemy that we face this morning. It is merely the consequence of the sin that we have. It is sin that leads us to death, and it is sin that needs to be dealt with in our lives. It was our sin, it was my sin, that Jesus bore upon the cross at Calvary. The other conversation that I want to look at is recorded for when he was in the last hours of his death upon the cross. He had two criminals, one on his left hand and one on his right hand. The two criminals were led to the cross with him, fulfilling the scriptures that he was numbered with the transgressors. And Isaiah 53:12 does not only prophesy that Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, it also explains that the meaning of that, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. When I looked at this, it's interesting to note that the prophecy is so strong and so certain that the following verbs are put in past tense: numbered, bore, and interceded, which is like declaring the end from the beginning. One of the criminals rebuked the other criminal who challenged Jesus to save himself and the criminals. One of them said, "If you can, save yourself and save us." His attitude was like that of the crowd that was standing and mocking him, abusing him. The other criminal rebuked him for saying this and confirmed that their death they deserved, and Jesus had done nothing wrong to warrant his punishment and death. And so the other criminal turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus declared that he would remember him, and today he'll be with him in paradise. Even on the cross, dying and suffering, Jesus is still showing mercy and love to those who call out to him. So if I look at the three past tenses that I already mentioned, the criminal had been numbered to die. He had called out to the one who bore his sin at that very moment, and Jesus interceded, declaring that he would be with him in paradise. The path to victory gave the criminal on the cross who stared at death the opportunity to know Jesus, to have security in him, and to know that he would spend eternity with him. Even on the cross, scripture was fulfilled. This path to victory has been documented hundreds of years before it actually took place. The exact details and the horror of what was to come before Jesus has been written in the psalm. Often we hear Psalm 23 spoken of in here. We've heard it preached. I have preached in Psalm 23 so many times. It is a wonderful psalm. It talks about Jesus, our shepherd, that guides us and protects us. It's a wonderful psalm. But before Psalm 23 obviously comes Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is known as the cross, as the Psalm of the Cross. And it gives a graphic detail surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus. And Luke 23, which is my main reading this morning, tells us what's happened, gives us an insight as to what's happening, but it doesn't put across the real anguish hurt, pain, emotion that you find in the couple of verses in Psalm 22. So to try and, I did have some images to put up, but we're not going to have any images today. But to try and put across how Jesus was feeling, because I put across how he was talking to two different groups. You've got to consider this. Psalm 22 begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? These verses, penned by King David, express the anxiety and the feelings of despair and loneliness that Jesus felt on the cross. It doesn't come across, I don't think, as well in Luke 23. Can you imagine how Jesus was feeling when he was left alone and left to face death alone? Verse 6 in Psalm 23 tells us, but I am a worm, a no and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. And all those who pass by ridicule me. Here is this psalm written hundreds of years before the book of Luke. And we are hearing and seeing exactly what is happening on the cross. This is precisely the detail that is given. The soldiers mocked him. The rulers sneered at him, saying he saved others, let him save himself. Verse 8, Psalm 22 tells us, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue himself. Is that not what we read in Luke 23? He trusted in the Lord, the criminal said, let him save himself and us. The criminal on the cross challenged Jesus by saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself. I can tell you this morning, it took more strength to remain on the cross and to suffer the death of a common criminal than it would have done for Jesus coming down off the cross and destroying those who ridiculed him and persecuted him. Do you not think that at any moment Jesus could have come off the cross and destroyed all those who were persecuting him? Psalm 22 verse 12 tells us that the strong bulls that encircled him, raging and roaring like lions, his enemies were all around him. These are the wicked people who with venom wanted to see the cruel and slow death of Jesus. Psalm 22 verse 14 tells us, shows us graphically and with precision the death that Jesus would die. It says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint and my heart is like wax, it has melted within me. My strength is dried up and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. Do you know what that means? It means his heart, your heart, has literally turned to wax. It's melted away. It's as if all his strength has gone. His heart is no longer firm. He is exhausted. He has been brought to the point of death. There is nothing left in him. They have pierced my hands and feet, verse 16. I cannot count all my bones, and they look and stir at me, and they divide my garments, cast lots for them. This form of killing, the crucifixion, was never recorded before, never done before, and yet Psalm 22 has it recorded. The garments of Jesus were divided by the soldiers, and Jesus prayed, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. What is it that they do not know what they do? They know what they're doing, but they don't realize that they're fulfilling scriptural prophecy in doing so. But they're doing it in complete savagery. Every detail in the way in which the sacrifice of Jesus was done has been fulfilled in prophecy from the manner which we see in Psalm 22 to the point that he died, to the soldiers dividing his garments. Everything was done exactly as set out. You know, there was an inscription put above the head of Jesus when he died on the cross. This is the King of the Jews. It's believed that Pilate wrote it with his own finger, and he wrote it in the three different languages. It outraged the Jewish leaders of the day when they read, this is the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews on the path to victory. Although they believed that this was the King. They didn't believe he was the King of the Jews, and they believed that this was the end of him. Who would have thought that the path to victory this morning could be so painful and so heart-wrenching? Who would have thought that the path to victory could be filled with such hatred, and that a man, Jesus, could be despised and rejected so cruelly? Who would have thought that Jesus, the Son of God, would have to face the greatest enemy of all alone upon the cross? He faced slander and accusation. He faced wrongful arrest, assault and injury. He faced utter abandonment and rejection. And he faced it alone. After all that he had been through, he cries out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It was finished. You know, I believe Jesus faced and defeated sin, the greatest enemy of mankind for us. He did it because he loved us and he wanted us to know the love of God the Father. Even in his suffering and rejection, Jesus walked the path of victory and would eventually lead those who recognize and believe in him to walk the path of victory with him and for him. This is what we are all doing this morning as believers. Because of Jesus, the greatest enemy of mankind has been dealt with. Because of Jesus, those held captive by sin and its consequences can be set free. This morning, I started with the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." And I want to look at one of the verses again. "It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother." We today are on the long, long road, but for us it's a road to victory. It is also a road where there is no return. We can never turn back from the road that we're on. There is no turning back. If we think of Simon for a moment, who was compelled to carry the cross of Jesus, he did not go before Jesus with the cross, but he was behind him. Jesus went before him, and Simon carried the cross. I don't think that that was an accident this morning, that that is the way it happened. It is there to show us that we must also pick up our cross and follow after Jesus. This means that we pick up the cross that leads to trials, that can lead to our rejection by friends and family, can lead to us being hated by the enemy. Of course, we are hated by the enemy, and all that he has to throw against us. And there is no selection to the cross that you will get. You cannot go and select your cross that you think you might want to carry. Everybody has a cross. Everybody's cross is different. But we all have to carry it. But we don't have to carry it alone. Like the song, our cross, our burdens, our loads can be lightened, because we find our strength to carry it in Jesus. Unlike Jesus, who faced death and sin alone when he died on the cross at Calvary, we will never face these things alone, for we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us and strengthening us. This morning, the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," can apply to us as brothers and sisters, as believers in here this morning. Because no matter how heavy your cross is, no matter how hard the burden, you have a brother and a sister in here who should be prepared to help at whatever stage to help you carry that cross. Do not think that you carry your cross alone in here, because we are all here together. And no matter what your burden, you can come to any one of us, and we should be able to try and help you or guide you. And of course, above all of that, we have more than that. We can carry our brother in prayer when the road gets tough. Never be afraid or ashamed or worried about the position you're in, or the cross that you have to bury, or the difficulty that you're facing, that you can come to anyone in here and share and try to get help, and also prayerful help. For the unbeliever this morning, the proof that Jesus loves you is on the cross, where he died so that you could be forgiven for your sin and be reconciled to God. At this time, not being a Christian, you're walking the road alone. You have, without Christ, nowhere to turn, and you have no crown of victory to receive when your road is over. You're walking to utter destruction. You are walking into hell. Your real enemy is Satan, who is lying to you and telling you that you do not need to repent, that you do not need Jesus, and that there is no such thing as sin. If you're an unbeliever this morning, you need to listen to the voice of Jesus and not to the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy is telling you that you do not need Jesus. I am telling you this morning that you need Jesus to be your Savior, that you need to confess your sin to Him. You need to turn from your sin and turn around from it and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save you and to lead you onto the path of victory that we have been speaking of this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that, Lord, although we walk this road, we're not walking it alone. That we're walking it with a risen Savior. We're walking it with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we trust in and turn to. Lord, I ask you please to guide us in all the ways that we go. Help us, Lord, with the cross that we have to carry, with the burdens that we have, Lord. Help us to realize that with you, those burdens are lightened, that we can trust in you in everything. Lord, please help us to recognize the great cost that you've paid for us, never to take it lightly, and never, Lord God, to forget it. Let us, Lord, remember what you've done for us, and to give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.